Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Encourage people to be a part of something that you obviously find value for, which is us. Amen. Because I know it ain't me. If it was me, you guys would amen me a whole lot more and standing ovations and all that. So it has to be us. It's not me, which I'm fine with that. I'm cool to be a part of the team that is making all the things available for your hearts and for your lives that needs to be made available. So the first thing I want to let you know is that you belong here. This isn't an accident. You didn't stumble in here because you were lost and in a trance and the door just fell open and you opened your eyes. You know, how did I get here? No, that was your old life. And you'd wake up places and you're like, how did I get here? Amen. You're not under that influence anymore. Amen. Be not filled with wine, wherein is drunkenness and excess, but be being filled with the Spirit. So you are filled with the Spirit. The reason you're here is because He led you here. So let me just settle that right away. Because a lot of people are like, well, I don't know if this is my church or that. Either God made a mistake. Okay. Nobody amen in that. Or you're where you should be, and you should just settle it. Okay. It's not really, honestly, that difficult. We make these things way out more than they should be. God knows where you fit. You belong here. You belong here. I'm a mechanic sometimes. And, you know, one of the ways that you don't lose your tools is you have a very specific place that they go. And so when you're cleaning up your tools and you got a gap, you go and hunt down the thing missing in the gap. Amen. This is why a bunch of you have been irritated at me on multiple occasions, because we got a gap and I've been hunting you down. And I'll keep doing it. I'll hunt your sorry butt all day, all night, all week, all month, all year. Because I love you, you stinker. But you know what? There's some other things I could do. I mean, it's cool. I'll hunt you. I'll come after you. I'll send people after you. We'll text you. We'll call you. We will irritate the fire out of you. Or you can just come and be happy and belong. Either way, I'm going to win, because Jesus is on my side. Amen. So the first thing we need to settle is that you belong here. Now, this is the place that you are greatly loved. I'm not saying that you can't get some loving somewhere else. But you know, it's kind of like your mama. Nobody loves you like your mama. Am I the only one with a mama? It's a great place for an amen for all of you that want to honor your father and your mother and live a long life full of blessings. Nobody loves you like your mama. I'll never forget the first time I ever seen a legitimately, and I'm being for real, and some of you might think that I'm a bad person for this, but I'm just being transparent. I would never forget the first time I seen an ugly baby. And I'm talking like an alien out of the movie. Like, I was like, oh my God, what? Hey, we should buy you some big swole caps. And I was like, whoa. Man, that is an awesome baby. And the parents were just like, look, and look at the little dimples. And I'm like, those aren't dimples. Those are issues, but, you know, we'll go. And the parents were just, I mean, they were glowing. They were near tears. And it sank in on me. I always thought my mom loved me because I was lovable. Yeah, I know y'all thinking I was stupid. I found out later she loved me because she loved me. It wasn't because I was lovable. Some of you are hard to love. But we're like your mama. We're going to be hard on our love. We're going to love you. This is the place that you're greatly loved. This is also the place where we've determined that it's going to be all about Jesus.
We live in a broken world. A world full of hate, poverty, evil, sin. We live in a world full of broken promises, broken relationships, broken people. We live in a broken world. And we broke it. It wasn't always broken. It was created to be beautiful, peaceful, perfect. But through one man's choice, sin entered the world and broke our fellowship with God. And we've been making that choice again and again ever since. All of us have sinned. All of us have played a part. All of us have broken that fellowship. And we all deserve eternal death because of it. But God loved this broken world full of broken people. He loved us so much that He sent His perfect Son to pay the price for our choices. And what a price He paid.
He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus. But God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died.
The ultimate act of grace. Jesus lived a perfect life and died a gruesome death so that broken people in a broken world could be healed. So that we could once again have fellowship with the one true God. But that's not the end of the story. Today isn't a day of mourning for the death of our Savior. We remember His sacrifice, but we also celebrate His victory. He died, but on the third day He rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. He defeated death and restored man's fellowship with God. And one day He will return to reign on earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Amen. Amen. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. He leaves no one behind. It's kind of our motto. We don't want anyone left behind. The reason you're greatly loved at Beloved Church is because we've had an encounter with that love. It's not because we're awesome. It's not because we're special. It's not because we have something that no one else has. It's because we have someone that some others don't have. So, what is so important about church? And I'm going to go ahead and be a little, Dale, just these, not the stage lights. They don't need to see me. They just need to be able to see the beauty of each other. I know this is kind of small. I'm not a super big PowerPoint guy, so you have to give me some grace because it's a grace church. But why church? And I know, listen, I'm not stupid or naive. I know most of you intimately. I know some of y'all are here because you are absolutely compelled by the goodness, the grace, and the love of Jesus Christ that there is nowhere else you'd rather be. And I know there are some people that are in here that there's a lot of places you'd rather be. I get it. That's fine. It is totally okay. But I want you to know, in no matter which of those two realms you may exist, that what's available to you is greater than what you're experiencing. No one's going to force you. It's one of the unique things about Jesus establishing the kingdom as a shepherd. You know, if you push sheep, this was a massive revelation to me. When we went and walked over at the, before it was the Dow House, it was the Extreme Home Makeover home, and we were over there and we were walking with the owner of that home that the Extreme Home Makeover show built that home for, and they had a daughter that loved sheep. They actually had a sheep room. It was creepy. They don't have a sheep room anymore, but they had a sheep room. They had big old sheep on the wall. It was for real creepy. But anyway, one of their little girls loved sheep. Loved it so much, they had big old sheep on the wall. And they have a sheep barn. And so I was just chatting with the gal about sheep, and I think even Dennis was there. And she said something, and it literally, I could hear her saying it right now. She said, I was asking about the sheep barn and, you know, did she have the sheep before? And she said, yeah, she had the sheep and all that. She goes, but it was really bad for us because we had the sheep. And the people on the show didn't know how to sheep. And they would force the sheep around. They would, like, chase them around. And she said, you know, that kills sheep. It kills them. It makes their heart, it puts stress on their heart, on their arteries that they are not built for. Now listen close. They're not built to be pushed around. Sheep are meant to be led. They're meant to be led by relationship. You know, a shepherd just can't come in and swap places with another shepherd and hold a sheep act assign. There's one shepherd that those sheep know. Man, I hope you get this. The reason that your working environment is something you probably detest is because they push and shove and drag you where you don't want to go. Here's my promise to you as the pastor and the founder of Beloved Church. It ain't us. I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to drag you. If you want to walk out there playing the street and get ran over by a Mack truck, I will cry the whole time I watch you walk off. I'll beg you to not. But I won't push you. I won't drive you. I'm not going to damage you and try to put it under the umbrella while I'm doing what's good for you. I'm not the Savior. Never have been, never will be. But I know how to lead you to Him. I've met Him. He's awesome. He's awesome. I know how to get you there. I've been there. But all I can do is lead. So why is church important? Church is important because Jesus said He was going to build it. Now, what I put on there was, I mean, really, really important. Not like important because you're sitting here in your captive audience, and if you get up and storm out now, everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, that guy. But I mean, like, why is it really important? Because you ain't got nothing better to do for 2 hours on Sunday morning? Because you got to, you know, come in and hit the time clock for Jesus? Hey, I was there, Lord. Hey, remember all those times I was there? You know, God looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance. He doesn't look at your location. Amen. The word ecclesia or ecclesia, depending on what tribe you come out of, means, it's a compound word from two Greek words that is ek and kaleo, which ek means out from and to, out from and to, and then kaleo means to call. So you are called out from to. That's the word that Jesus said he was going to build. He was going to call out from to. You know that we have an incredible, large mass of people that think that church means called out. And they half are right. You're not just called out from the world. You're not just called out as people who are different or peculiar. You're not just called out into a different way of life, a different way of thinking. You're also called into. You're only halfway if you're called out. And I want to tell you right now that we have more people that say that they are Christians that are not in churches today. Listen. There are more people that call themselves Christians and are sincere about it that are not in church today than are sitting in churches today. More. More not than are. Which means that they have determined what the kingdom looks like and they've told the king that he's wrong. And they'll make all kinds of excuses for it. Well, you know, God didn't come to make institutions and God didn't do this and God. Can someone tell me if a kingdom is not an institution, what the heck is it? Jesus came preaching the kingdom. Come out of the institution of the world and come into the institution of the church. Now, is it like all that goo and garbage and legalism and jacked up nightmare junk that we've gone through 2,000 years of and you got... Y'all hear me, okay? I'm just using this for excuse. But I'm not a pope. Praise Jesus. This isn't the dictatorship of Steve Castle at Beloved Church. Amen. My name ain't on the building. Never will be. We are led as a group. There's a staff. There's a board. There are a bunch of people that are smarter than me in a bunch of other areas. And we make decisions together. And we seek the Lord for you. And we pray for you. And we are intense about trying to change the things that are in your life through our influence and through the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ through us. We aren't trying to boss anybody around. I was a boss for 20 some years. I hated it. And if the staff knows it, if they ever call me boss, that's one of the times that I get feisty with them. I'm not a boss. I'm not your boss. If you're hunting a boss, I don't know what to tell you. Get married, I guess. Amen. That ain't who we are. That's not the institution. Remember, Jesus said that if you want to be the highest, then where are you going to position yourself? So guess what my position is? You can step on me all you want. You can walk right up and step all over me. It's happened thousands of times. It'll happen thousands of more times. Now, in the average church, you go and step on the leader, you'd be pulling thorns out of your feet. So do I understand that there is a jacked up mess out there in the church world? Yes. Does that mean that all of us are jacked up? Has anybody ever had an ex? No? All y'all are as pure as the wind-driven snow. Okay, thank you. Three people that are... Okay, so for you three that have actually had an ex, and me, you know, not everybody is like my ex. I'm going to just let that kind of soak down. It's like good perfume. It takes a minute. I cannot tell you in words. I can tell you in tongues. I cannot tell you in words how much I love my wife. I cannot. If my wife is the standard for what God intended, for a relationship for me to be, then my ex would be as far away from that as the end of the universe is to the end of the universe. And so if a person is sitting here, if you're sitting here, I don't know what your church experience has been. I know some of y'all and some of you. Here's what I'm saying. Don't do us that way. Whatever your previous church experience was, good or bad, y'all, good or bad, I understand. Don't do us that way. Let us be the one that you brought to the dance now. Just dance with us. Amen. Don't bring in your hurts. Don't bring in your problems. Don't bring, well, that other church, that other, how would you think your spouse would feel about that? Well, my other wife. Yeah, uh-huh. And then you'll be calling a dentist. Amen. Don't do this that way. If you've had things happen to you in the past, I'm sorry. I apologize for every church that's ever hurt you, ever. But we're not gonna. It's not our intention. I'm not saying it won't happen. Just saying that's not our intention. We're not gonna do it on purpose. If you get hurt, sometimes you fall down on a plain sidewalk with no cracks and you get hurt. You can yell at the sidewalk all you want, but it didn't intend to hurt you. Called out and to is the full understanding of ecclesia. So in simple words, the simple definition that I want to apply to this is that we are the ones that are called out from one life separated into the real life of being together. Into the real life of being together. We are literally created and called into family. Did you know that? Go read Genesis for a minute. You know, God didn't create a church. He didn't create a building. He didn't create a government. He created a family. Now, a family is a form of government. A family is an institution. Those of you that have been in good ones, you know that it's a good one. God actually created family. The church is supposed to be the family of God. That's what the scriptures adamantly declare in the New Testament. We are of the family of God. We have the name of the family of God. God the Father. Jesus our brother. Brother and sister. This is the language throughout the entire New Testament. God actually created church to be family. You know why people can quit church? Because they actually don't see it as family. You know, I could maybe not like my family. And I could maybe quit my family. It doesn't mean my name changes. It doesn't mean my DNA changes. It doesn't mean that my birth certificate changes. It doesn't mean my driver's license changes. It doesn't mean any of those other things that are legitimate to me. Actually, it just means that I'm offended, I'm mad, and I'm just not going to go to the family reunion. I'm still part of the family. You can't quit family. You can get mad at family. You might could kill some family. Amen. And then we'll come and minister to you in jail. I go every week. But you can't quit family. This is what God intended for it to be. You're called out of one family into another family. So why is that irritating to some people? Because they've had jacked up families. That's a great place for an amen for some of y'all, because I know some of your families. Amen. Amen. So, if you came from a jacked up family, now everybody's like, hey! If you have come from a broken family, if you've come from no family, adopted, whatever your family background is, let me help you. You're not in that family. You're called out. This will put a nail in the coffin of this whole generational curse garbage that have been floating around through the body of Christ for about 100 years. And if I find a guy that invented it, it'll be the first guy I've punched in about 20 years. Bunch of demonic garbage. How do you get a generational curse when you're born again of the Father? Someone, please help me. The only way for you to generationally be cursed is for you to still be born of your old family. God called you out of your old family into a new family, and from that new family, you have a pure bloodline that comes right from the Father.
Amen.
That's beautiful. That's what you're called into. Simply put, you belong. You know, God, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that 2 Corinthians chapter 14, it says that God places in the church the gifts that He... God places. You know what that means? If you're trying to figure... If you're church shopping, and I know nobody's in here, but I'm trying to give you weapons... Trying to give you information, understanding to go and talk to other people. Which means if you're church shopping, you are being disobedient and rebellious. You don't shop for a church. It'd be like shopping for a family. Well, let's see. How much do you make, Wayne?
I don't know.
Anybody in here 6 figures so I can come live with you? Do you need a son? Do you need a son? Can I come? How's the cooking? You know, if somebody walked up to you and you say, yeah, so anyway, how much you make? How good your wife cook? Will you buy me a car when I'm 16?
No.
Do I get to have a cell phone? Unlimited data? If any of these answers are no, I'm out of here. You know, folks do church that way. Do you have this group? Do you have this support thing? Do you have this thing? Is your church this color? What kind of carpet you got? Oh, no, there's coffee on the carpet. I'm not coming to this church. They got coffee on the carpet. We drink coffee.
Amen.
It spills. Surprise. Amen. I know we just had the carpets cleaned 2 days ago, and I literally came in here and I'm like, you know, I'm pretty sure that maybe we'll go a week without someone spilling coffee. Nope, right there. Right now. Amen. You know what that means? We're real. It's just coffee on the carpet. If you come in here and you're offended by coffee on the carpet, I'm coming to your house. We're going to talk. Or maybe we'll just ride around in your car. Amen. Because, yeah, I spend a lot of time in my car. And there might be some things you could pick apart. I've only had that truck a year and I've dented it twice. It's a truck! You run it into things. I mean, not on purpose. I mean, people probably think I do, but it's a truck. You use it like a truck. If you throw stuff in the back and it dings it, it's a truck. Listen, y'all, it's a carpet. You walk on it. I'm trying to get us to get the big picture here. We don't shop for churches. The Lord places people in families. You're called to be where God's called you. Not where you want to be, not where it feels good, not where you get your backside tickled or your ears whispered into. You go where He's asked you to go. He knows what your life is going to be about. He knows what your destiny is. And He knows how you're going to have to be equipped. Ephesians 4, God calls pastors, and the other four, but pastors, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. God knows what kind of equipment you need. If you get called into the Marine Corps and you show up at the Navy... You'll play that one out in your head and see how it works out. For some of you, you've been in the Navy for 25 years and you show up over here like, oh, I was supposed to be in the Marines. Yeah, we're the Green Berets around here. Thank you, Cindy. Like, we're Special Forces. I double dog Gary to find another church in 50 miles. I know almost every church and almost every pastor in 50 to 75 miles. I double dog dare you to find another church that believes that you were healed 2,000 years ago because of the stripes of Jesus Christ, that you were made prosperous because Jesus laid down the riches that the Father had already given him, and he laid that down for you so that you could be wealthy, and that you were supposed to be influencing nations. I double dog dare you, find another church. Special forces, y'all. You're called to the special forces. You bunch of crazy, whacked out, Green Beret wearing, Navy SEAL, breath holding, whatever it takes, you are called to be a part of that. You belong.
Amen.
Here. Man, done messed up my computer. Praise Jesus. Man, I really got that. All right. The simple definition is, you belong. So I need to ask you why. So what is the benefits and the advantages to being part of a local church family? Now this is very specific to you being a part of a local church family. This isn't saying, well, I'm part of the universal body of Christ. No, you're not. I'm tired of hearing that. The word Catholic, just so you all know, means that Catholic actually means universal. So I've actually had, they don't like it very much, but I've had Catholics come and say, are you Catholic? I say, yep. They're like, okay, great. What they probably are thinking is that I'm Roman Catholic and not Roman Catholic, but they don't need to know that. Amen. Because I am Catholic. I'm part of the universal body of Christ. But if I am a leg in the body of Christ, and the torso and the waist and the hips and all that are in Europe, pretty much not walking very quick, are we? And I'm a lonely floppy leg over here in northern Illinois. So this is talking about, yes, you are part of the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ, but I'm talking about these stats are very specific to the fact that this is local and part of the one that you're called into, church as you and I know it today. Number one, and I want you to get this, these are benefits that you can talk to other people about being part of church. The number one benefit, and these are in no distinct order because each of them you're going to see, they're going to have a powerful application. Number one, church attendance is the number one predictor of marital stability. Amen. And all the folks that are sitting in here with your spouse should say amen. It's the number one predictor. You know what predictions are? This is a scientific term. You know the Journal of Marriage and Family is a non-Christian journal. In fact, every one of these, except for one stat, every one of these come out of secular studies. Secular. Non-Christian. Non-church studies. 100%, except for one of these stats, comes out of secular studies. This is the world looking at you. Scientists in the world looking at you, the number one predictor that the world has noticed about you, crazy families, crazy married couples sitting in the same church together for a long period of time. It's the number one predictor of whether you're going to make it or not. Have you heard anybody say the divorce rate is about 50%? Have you heard anybody else say, misinformedly, that they say, and it's about the same in the church. Anybody ever heard that? I used to hear it all the time. The divorce rate's about 50%. Yeah, but we're Christians. Yeah, but it's about the same in the church. You know what? That's a lie. And people quote Barna on that stat. It's an absolute lie. It's a manipulation of data. So the world can look better. The divorce rate in the church for couples. Now follow me real quick. The divorce rate in the church for couples who have been married for longer than 10 years and have attended the same church together for 10 years, the divorce rate is less than 10%. Which means 90% of couples who have been married over 10 years and have been in the same church together for 10 years. 90%. Now, what you're probably going to think, well, yeah, they're staying together, but they ain't liking each other. Hold on. I've got more stats. Number two, attending church is helpful in the prevention of cancer, heart disease, mental illness. Non-Christian study. Hey, you know what's better than getting cancer and getting healed of it? Not getting it. Amen. It's one of those things that you don't want to try it, see if you like it. You know, one of the greatest... In other words, let me say this. We here at Beloved Church are basically your flu shot.
Amen.
We're going to give you a little bit of... but it's going to save you from... Bleh. And we will. We'll give you a little bit of... Because that's what a flu shot is. They give you a little bit of flu, and then you fight off the flu, and then when the real flu comes, then you're strong. So we're going to give you a little bit... So those of you that squirm sometimes when I'm preaching, that's you're just getting your shots. Amen. Yeah, okay. Woo! All right, though. I'm not going to be puking on Tuesday. Praise God. That's what we're doing here. We're just helping you get a little preventative maintenance. Amen. As a mechanic, let me tell you something. If you don't change your oil for 15, 20,000 miles, it's going to get expensive. Really expensive. Preventative maintenance, real good. Amen. You can tell your friends that that's one of those benefits of being a part of a local church family together. Number three, teens who regularly attend church are 4 times less likely to commit suicide. 4 times. Let me say this real quick. You know why the millennial generation is fleeing and ignoring the church by droves? Because we're not relative. Because we're not cool enough. We're not hip enough. Listen, was Jesus cool? Then why are billions of people following? It wasn't because of his coolness that made billions of people follow him. It's because he had something to offer that no one else had to offer. This, I know there's multiple generations that just think that if it ain't cool, then it ain't right. I got news for you. Someday you're not going to be cool. You're going to be like us 40, 50, 60-year-olds, and you're not going to be worried about cool because you're going to be worried about kids and grandkids and success and life and health. And all of a sudden, cool is not really that important. But for the first 20, 30 years of your life, cool is pretty important. One day you'll grow up and you'll find out it's not. Here's cool, something cool. 4 times. 4 times. 4 times less likely to get to that place in life where they just say that life is no longer worth it. Attending church. And I'll guarantee you, this stat didn't say it and they loved it. Anybody ever been in a church your whole life? Like, the teen years were like your least favorite of all church years. It didn't say that you loved it. You just attended. You went there. You know, some of this stuff gets on you like osmosis. Osmosis is the scientific function of where an area of greater concentration gets in through a semi-permeable membrane into an area of lesser concentration. I know that was really scientific, but basically what it's saying is if it's really hot here and there's a semi-permeable membrane, which means something can get through, then it's going to equivalently balance at some point. You can just sit around here and get some stuff. It'd be a whole lot better if you were engaged. But you can just sit here and some stuff's going to rub off on you. You know, people are going to hug you whether you want to or not. Anybody ever been here any length of time? You've been hugged. And there's times you're just like, oh my God, we're going to hug everybody? Yeah, we're going to hug everybody. By osmosis, you're going to get some stuff. Hey, teens, you know why the enemy doesn't want you here? You know why this ain't cool? He'd rather have you dead. He'd prefer you dead. He knows you're going to change the world. You're going to lead the world. You're going to change the world. The world is going to be formed by your hands and by your words and by the decisions that you make. So you know what his idea is for you? Just kill you. And you know what's really easy, what's really beneficial to him, is to talk you into just killing yourself. Because then it doesn't have to get all involved with all these other people and send murderers and all that. Just talk you into killing yourself. Hey, guess what you're probably going to not likely hear in the world today You should value yourself. You should care about yourself. You should love yourself. You should understand that you were created for a purpose by a divine creator who says that he is your father and he loves you as a son or a daughter. You're not going to get that message in the world. When you understand that you're a son or daughter in the kingdom of God, then your life has more value. Now you have God characteristics in you, and you are 4 times less likely to be talked into doing something that is an eternal solution to a temporal problem. 4 times. That's an important... Hey, parents, guess what you should do? You should value your children's life enough to make this important. People who regularly attend church are more likely to remain married and have a better sex. I have to say it that way because the staff squirms. He's talking about sex. They have a better sex life. Let me tell you about my sex life. My wife knew I wouldn't pull it off. She's like, whatever. I will tell you this. Amen. The world ain't got nothing. The world ain't got nothing on 2 people who love each other and understand intimacy through Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you one more thing. Our time of intimacy is literally a fight unto who can please the other one more. In the world, it's the opposite. It's get what you want to get all you can get, and get gone. In our marriage, it's give all you can give, and then some. I pray in tongues sometimes during sex. Want some spirit stamina. Amen. Are y'all awkward yet enough? Should we move on? Kay said, yes, we should move on. That was not a stat by a Christian organization. Which I'd like to see the non-Christian organization come and question a bunch of people in a church about sex. So how's your sex life? Number 5, on average, church attendees stay half as long during hospital stays. You know why? Because we got a bunch of crazy people here that like to go to hospitals and pray you out of them. Amen. That's great. You know what the world would do? Oh, they're in the hospital. Oh, I hate hospitals. I'm staying away from there. You know what the church does? They're in the hospital. Who's going? This guy. And you walk in there like you're on fire by the power of God. Like, where's she at? Lay hands on her. Where's the nurses? Get them out. We're going to be laying hands, talking tongues. We're going to do all kinds of crazy stuff in here. You better get out. Amen. I'm a FHN chaplain. And I'm very honorable about it. I'm not weird. But every time I walk in a room, the first thing I do is say, hey, nurse, is it okay if I just have some me and them time? Some alone time? And then they leave and shut the door. And at some point, it's, I shall come on, son of a time. We're ripping it in there. And the nurses are like, thank God he asked. You're half as likely to, or your hospital stays are likely to be, and now listen, here's something interesting about this stat. This stat is about all folks that go to church. Now listen, we are in the upper 2-3% of churches that teach and preach what we preach. Which means 98% of the church will probably tell you that God made you sick. And you still stay in the hospital half as long. Oh my God, what would happen if you came to Beloved Church? We believe in healing. We don't think God made you sick. We believe God made you healed. And if it's half as long, you're going to stay in the hospital with a bunch of other churches that told you that Jesus put you in the hospital. What happens when we come in and tell you that Jesus don't want you in the hospital? I don't know what the stat is. You could probably look it up. Those attending church are 5 times less likely to require antibiotics. You know why? Because a merry heart does good like medicine. We got our own drugs around here, y'all. We grow the best stuff. Amen. You can go on and take you some bread mold. I'm going to tell you about the spirit of life that flows out of your belly like rivers. Rivers of living water. What do you want, antibiotics or Jesus?
Jesus.
You can get that around here. You are 5 times. 5 times. 5 times. Less likely to need a doctor to do something to you that you don't want him to do anyway. You know they're practicing medicine. Jesus didn't practice it. Practice makes perfect, and guess who's the pincushion? Number 7, there is a lower blood pressure among men who attend church versus those who do not. Hey, guess what, guy? That was a great place for all the guys to be like, amen, I'm in the church. Hey, you know why the devil really tries to talk guys into not being a part of the church? I have never been in a church service that's had more guys than girls. Because the devil knows if he can kill the guy, he can ruin the family unit. If the family unit gets ruined, as goes... Let me give you a very important equation that you need to understand. As goes the church, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes the community. As goes the community, so goes the nation. So if you're the devil, do you start in the middle or do you go back to the root? Jack up the church so that the family gets jacked up. This is why men have better things to do on Sunday morning than be in church. And this is why men by far die and are affected by heart problems way more than women. Way, way more. No, I know. It's just a major coincidence. God is the God of the heart. Well, it's not the physical heart. Okay, in the Greek, it's cardia. Cardia. Cardiovascular. That was Duke University, not Christian. Anybody ever heard of Duke? Used to be Christian, not really Christian. Too bad for them. Number 8, there is an additional average life expectancy of 7 years for faithful church attendees. Now, this is cool. Not only do you get to have more sex. Y'all knew I'd come back, right? Not only do you get to have more sex, you get to have it longer. The young people like it. Look at them. They're laughing so hard they're bent over in redness. No, for real. You know that if you smoke cigarettes all your life, you die 7 years younger. Or 7 years earlier, however you want to say that. So check this out. Let's say I find you, and you're a 20-something, and you're addicted to cigarettes. And I get you wrecked and born again by the power of God. Not only did I save you from the 7 years the cigarettes are going to kill you, but I'm going to put you in the church. I'm going to get you set. I'm going to save 14 years off of your life because we're that crazy church that believes in deliverance. That's a big deal. You know, just being a faithful part of a fellowship, a local church family, literally puts 7 years on your life. Why do you think there's a bunch of old women? Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's a bunch of old women that are in some churches. In fact, I can name you churches that don't have an old man. Bunch of old women. Why? Because the men were too busy for church. The women went. They're living 7 years longer. Okay. Go check it out. Number 9, people attending church report a 50% higher weekly average family income. Do I have anybody's attention now? I can talk about sex. I can talk about marriage. I can talk about family. I can talk about blah, blah, blah. But whoa, whoa, whoa. I make more money when I go to church. But hold on a minute. I thought the church took my money. Now, this is interesting. UCLA. Anybody know anything about UCLA? They are probably one of the most liberal, God-hating institutions that are in America. Don't you know that there was a bunch of professors that were like, oh my God, don't put that out there from us. Give it to somebody else. You make more income. I'm not going to church for money. I know. God knows. But He likes to bless people. You know, sometimes you just can't help it. God loves you so much, He just blesses you. Even when you're not looking for it. Sometimes you just, it's like Psalms 23, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's like I'm trying to get a... And it's following me. Goodness and mercy just keeps following me around when you go to church. But wait a minute, Dennis is trying to take our money. No, if you understand what Dennis is doing, Dennis is actually trying to make this happen. Amen. Amen. This is why people in the church actually have 50% more income. Because they give. And God gives it back to them. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into their bosom. Hallelujah. That's a good reason to go and tell your neighbor that you should be at church. Hey, go to church and make more money. Amen. Number 10, churchgoers have fewer heart attacks than non-churchgoers. You know why? Because God protects your heart. Amen. Amen. Though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come nigh me. My God is a shield and a buckler, a high tower. The righteous run into Him and they are safe. From what? Attacks! You know, this is incredible. The National Institute of Mental Health, a non-Christian organization, are telling you, sit here, and your heart is going to be less likely to be attacked. I wonder if David Larson went to church after this. Be a smart, he did. Number 11. Those who attend religious services in their youth, listen. Those who attend church services in their youth regularly, this was a regular, average $11,000 more a year before you're 30. Non-Christian stat, UCLA, Antichrist. Or you can just be a kid and know your own stuff and figure out how to be broke. There's a lot of people on welfare. Number 12, cities with high church attendance have the lowest crime rates. You know why? Because for 2 hours on Sunday, nobody's doing anything but going to church and loving Jesus. I'm being funny. That's not really why. Here's the thing. There's two ways to protect your stuff. Let's say robbery. It's a high crime thing. Let's say robbery is something that you're concerned about. Here's two ways to deal with robbery. Lock your doors, get a deadbolt, buy a big gun, and sit by the door. Or, get your neighbor born again. And he doesn't break in. Is that too deep? Did I lose some of y'all? Well, it's not my neighbor that's going to break in. You want to bet? Go check the stats. 95.6% of all crimes are done by local residents. Of all major crimes. Which means that it's your neighbors. What happens when you affect a region? Listen, why would Jesus tell us to be the most influential entity in the region? Because He wants the region affected by love, by grace, by mercy, by genuineness, by sincerity. This is what He wants the region affected by. So He says, hey, beloved church, go do that. You know, as a default, as an after effect, as the fruit of the root, there's going to be less robberies, there's going to be less rapes, there's going to be less murders, there's going to be less bad things that happen because there's going to be less bad people. Christianity isn't about behavior modification, it's about heart transformation. When you transform a heart, the behavior absolutely changes. This is really important. If for no other reason but just to affect your neighbors, your neighborhoods, your communities, you should be adamantly engaged in a church. Number 13, people attending church are physically healthier and less depressed. Jeez, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Life is falling around. Jesus, I know what to do. Jesus knows what to do. Everybody goes through that. Everybody. The problem is, in the world, you don't get the backside of that. They don't get to say, Jesus knows what to do. All they're going to do is, man, I need to pop another pill. Get me a happy pill, get me a put me to sleep pill, get me a wake me up pill, get me a pill, get me a pill, get me a pill. The problem is, you get enough pills going on, you get you a little suicide cocktail. And then I come to the hospital and pray for you after you attempted suicide. I've been there three times. Three times. For people that have attempted suicide because of a concoction that a mental doctor gave them. Or you can just take Jesus. Come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest in your soul. In your soul. That's this dude right here. Rest in your soul. And then you don't need a pill, because you got Jesus. And if your mind's healthier, then obviously your physical body is healthier. And the last one, alcohol abuse, is 300% less. 300%. I want you to think about the fruits of this. You know how many abusive relationships have drugs and or alcohol involved? You know how much adultery has drugs and or and alcohol involved? Do you know how many STDs are because of drug and alcohol-induced encounters? Do you know how many murders take place under the influence? Do you know how many people die on our highways every year because of people under the influence? 300% less likely for those to be factors that affect your life, because you are faithfully involved with the church. If these stats are true, and they are, then why are people staying away by the droves? There are thousands of people that don't want to hear what I have to say. Thousands of people don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. I've spent I'm 43 years old. If you didn't know that, I don't know what to tell you. 43 years old. I was born, my dad was in the church. I was born in the church. I have spent way more by far of my life in the church than out of the church. And for a majority of it, hating God. Because of the church. I have been in or around the kingdom of God pretty much basically my entire life. I have 43 years of experience to tell you what I'm about to tell you. I want you to see if any of this corresponds to your relationship, to your experiences. Number one, the reason that I believe that most people stay out of the church, guilt, condemnation, shame. You don't belong. That place is for someone else. Now, hold on. Look around. And I don't mean that like facetiously. Like, look around. We've got old people, young people. We've got fat people, thin people. We've got tall people, short people. We've got white people, black people. We got highly educated and not. We've got people that are in higher economic places than others. This is a great mesh. There are people here from Mexico, from Puerto Rico, from America that have spent a bunch of time in Texas, which is like another country. There are people here from all kinds of places. Right here. Egypt. If you don't belong here, can someone please tell me where you do belong? If you don't belong in a group like that, what kind of group you belong in. I mean, this is beautiful. This is diversity at its best. You know, the enemy wants you to think that you don't belong. He wants you to think. Jesus doesn't want you to think. He's actually telling you, you belong. If I was real quiet right here and you were listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, He'd say, you belong. You belong so well that I created you for this. You know, this is an actual scriptural precedence, and I don't have time to get into it, but if you go read Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you will find that Adam and Eve belonged until the sin. What happened after the sin? They hid. Think about this. Adam and Eve had church every night. I know some of you are like, oh my God! Guess what you're going to do in heaven, you bunch of wackos? Adam and Eve had church every day. They met with God, and they met with God's people every day at a designated time at a designated place. Church. They had church every day. The first church service that was ever missed in the history of humanity was the church service after Adam and Eve were in guilt and shame and nakedness and hid themselves from church. It's happening today. A lot of people are hiding because of guilt and shame and condemnation. And here's the worst part about that. This is the place that guilt, shame, and condemnation get dealt with. Number two, based upon the Steve Castle Revised Standard Amplified Version, church hurt. There's no hurt like church hurt. Anybody ever heard that one? No hurt like church hurt. I used to say it because I got church hurt. Let me tell you what church hurt is. Church hurt is I go walk out and I trip right before I get to the last step and I tumble down the steps and I break my arm. That's church hurt because the building hurt me. You getting hurt by someone in the church is one of two things. Either A, they aren't quite as sanctified as you probably thought they were, and so one of their immaturities snuck off on you. Or B, you're not as mature as you think you are, so that someone else's offensive behavior offended you. That's church hurt. When anybody says, well, I've been hurt by the church, all I'm going to say is, that is you telling me how immature and insecure you are. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride is the only way that you can get into strife and contention. If you've been hurt by a church, I'll just tell you this. Jesus is the one that you should be there for. Jesus is perfect. The rest of us, working on it. I'm not saying that you ain't never been hurt by people in a church. And I'm not saying that there aren't churches out there that are on purpose hurting people. We ain't. If you get hurt around here, I'm sorry. Didn't intend for it to happen. And we want to help you get through that. But this keeps people out of church. You know why this keeps people out of church? You know, for me, here's the thing. If I was hurt, like, telling a story I shouldn't. Sorry. I got in a fight one time in a Kmart parking lot. I wasn't always a preacher. I got in a fist fight in a Kmart parking lot. I got hurt. I probably lost. I don't remember. I just remember it was a fight. Probably lost. You know, here's the amazing thing about me and my ungodly antichrist self at that time in my stage of life. You know, I still went to Kmart. I still visited many a blue light special after that. I got hurt in a Kmart parking lot and still went to Kmart. There ain't a person in this room that ain't been offended at a McDonald's. That's a great place for an amen. And you still go. And some of you too many times. There ain't a person in here that ain't been offended at a Walmart. I've been offended outside before I've got in the Walmart. I want to wear safety glasses and cover them with a stocking cap and take a walker and walk through Walmarts most of the time. There are things coming out of people's body that should never come out in public. At a Walmart, that's offensive. And I still go! So here's what I'll say. The average Christian is more dedicated to Walmart than Jesus. Ouch. Anybody? Ouch? Because you'll get offended at a Walmart and go to Walmart. You get offended at a church, it'll be your excuse to cut and ruin. I digress. I'm just committed more to Jesus than that. I'm not going to let His character and His nature be belittled by some bad person in a church that made a mistake. Number three, honestly, life's just too busy, Pastor. Don't you know what I do? Don't you know? You know what? You're doing what you want to do right now. What you value right now, you make time for. What you don't value, you do not make time for. You're only too busy when it's something you don't want to do. Come on now. Is this too real? It's getting kind of quiet in this Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Methodist, UCC. They let the drums in church. You make time right now for every single thing you want to do. If you value it, you make time for it. I promise you. I double dog dare you to let me look at your phone and look at your Candy Crush time. What you value, you make time for. Which means you have time. You have 24 hours. I have 24 hours. You have time. God was faithful to give you the time. What are you going to do as a steward of it? Well, I know church is important and I should make time and all that. But. Right now, life is really busy. Life is really busy. Let me say this. Before you were married, were you kind of busy? I was. I had three jobs and went to college. Were you kind of busy before you were married? Anybody? You know, when you got married, you didn't get less busy. Anybody? Y'all ain't being honest. You get married, and you just got busy. And so then, you're dual income, no kids. You're dinks. You're married. You now have less time than you've ever had in your life. And so what are you going to do? Well, just going to have some babies. Because that makes it easy on time. They don't need any time whatsoever. In fact, babies help you. They clean the house for you. They wash the car. Anybody? Did you anybody have that baby? You know, here's the thing. You have never been busier than you've ever been in your life as married couple, and you add more time value constraints to your life. Why? Because you value the relationship and you value the child. You can't wait to have this child. My wife wanted to get pregnant way before me. And she was more successful. I don't even know how it worked. Came home one day, had kids. I was in Africa. She was pregnant with Hannah. Figure that one out. She was pregnant before I left. But either way, I was in Africa. She was pregnant. We added children to our busy life. I was in Bible college. She was waiting tables. I was working on cars. We were doing everything and added a kid. Why? Because we valued the time that we were going to give to Hannah. She was worth it. She's still worth it. I made time for her. We made time for her. I made time for Jesus. I make time for His people. I make time for it because it's important and I value it. What you don't value, you don't make time for. I could be golfing now. I know how to golf sometimes. I've got $50. I could go golfing. Why am I not there? I don't have anywhere else I'd rather be than with you. You're the greatest church ever. Why would I want to be somewhere else? Where are you going to meet people like this in life? People that love you, pray for you, that care about you, care about your family annoy you because of how much they love you? I don't want to try to get away from this. I want to get more of this. This is the gospel story. God was busy. You ever ran a universe, anybody? Bet you it takes a lot of time. And yet God was so busy, He decided to send a third of the Trinity down here to save our sorry butts. Because He valued you. He didn't let His busyness stand in the way of what it took for His love to be operational for you. So the first question that you need to answer is, will you have the courage to be greatly loved? It does take courage to allow people to love you. Will you allow the life that you were created to have invade the life that you now have? Who we are, beloved church? We're real. I put that one first because I know how I preach and I got a twang. We're real. We're sincere. Sometimes sincerely wrong, but yet sincere. Amen. Sometimes we tell you stuff that's super sincere and we should have not said it, but we said it and it was sincere. Sorry if it's too sincere, but it's sincere. That's who we are. We are imperfect people.
Amen.
Baby. It's an amen right there. Did you amen? Yeah. So we're imperfect people. And we, did you hear the we? That's me. We is me, too. I'm imperfect. I'm perfect in the spirit. I'm not quite there in my soul. And my body? We'll just go on to another subject. We're imperfect people. Amen. Unless you're perfect, you fit here. Imperfect people. We're passionate. Anybody been a part of worship lately? You know what this is? This is, I don't care that you're looking because I ain't doing it for you. That's passion. A bunch of people that are making a fool out of themselves because they don't care about your opinion of whether they're being foolish or not. Passion. You know, I would rather have a bunch of people around me that are passionate than smart. Smart I can train. Passion's something you got it or you don't. We're passionate. We are irritating. Did you see how I put that up there? I made the slideshow. Anybody been irritated around here?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody raising your hand. Oh, these two? Raise your hands, you bunch of liars. Anybody been irritated by anybody around Beloved Church? I have. Y'all irritate me all the time. Being honest, we're transparent too. Did I put that up there? No, I didn't. Well, I'm irritated by some of y'all sometimes. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Doesn't mean I want to get rid of you. Doesn't mean that I don't want to see you. Doesn't mean I don't want to talk with you, hang out with you. Just sometimes you irritate me. Anybody ever been married? Anybody have siblings? Siblings. Ever been irritated? We're irritating. Amen. It's one of our great characteristics. I could have picked up a million different adjectives and look at the ones I chose. Irritating. Different. We're different. And not just me. So all of you that are pointing with your judgmental opinions, it's not just me. I'm not the only weird one. There's some other weird ones. We're different. But we're different good. Amen. You can be different bad. Amen. And then they put you in a padded room. Or you can be different good. And then God lets you sit on thrones and rule over the angels. And you get all kinds of universe responsibilities at the end because you were doing it differently here on the earth. We're different. Amen. We're not short bus different. We're the other kind of different. And we're caring to a fault. To a fault. We have staff meetings every week. You know what we do? We pray for you. We care for you. We've cried for you. We care to a fault. You know, sometimes I just wish I could be like one of those other churches. Like, whatever. Didn't want them in the church anyway. Prayed them out. Bunch of jerk heads. I've tried it. For real. Because it'd just make you feel better. I tried to get rid of them people. But we care to a fault. Like, God, they're gone. Shoot. Let's go get them. And then we'll have a prophecy. Don't go get them. And then we'll have another prophecy. Go get them. And we'll go get them. And we'll irritate them even more, and then they stay even farther away. But we're caring to a fault. Wouldn't you rather have us overcare than undercare?
Amen.
Amen. So sorry if we irritated you by being caring. So I put it on the screen. So that's who we are. Amen. This is who we are. This is who you can be. Purpose. If you do not know the purpose of an object, you will always misuse it, abuse it, or lose the benefit of it. This is what most of your life could probably be defined as. People did not understand your true value. And so they've abused you, misused you, and they've lost the benefit of who you are. It's not who we are. We're a place of purpose. We're a people of purpose. Purpose is like a compass for your life. If you don't have a compass, you might be moving, but you'll be perpetually lost, perpetually going in circles. But if you have a compass on the inside of you, which is purpose, you will always be moving in the right direction. Maybe not very fast. Sometimes we don't get there very quick, but we get there. Amen. We desire to help you find your purpose and divine destiny. We want to see that affect your marriage, your health, your finances, your soul, and your influence in this world. The truth is, everyone is now living their faith and already have a church. It may be the bottom of a bottle or a good life. But who built it? You have a church, whether this is your church or whether the Green Bay Packers are your church. Everybody has a church. If you can build the church, you have become your own God. But if Jesus builds your church upon this rock, I, Jesus, will build his church. So you can either be built by you or built by him. Who do you want to be built by? Amen. This is the place that you are greatly loved. Please stand up. Let me profess a blessing over you.